Are y'all happy that it's been wonderful weather out there? I got tired of being cold. And I'm really glad that we got some great weather. We need help. We need help with that in the children's ministry, that video. God can even use a donkey. You know, John's dad, and I heard the story because I never met him. He had already passed, but I heard the story about him saying something to the effect of, if God can speak through an ass, he can speak through me. So,
I believe it.
He can use you, and Serenity Church needs you in that children's ministry. If you have that on your heart, get with Jesslyn, Pastor Jesslyn, and try to get in on that. You know, I had a bunch of stuff written down here, but Logan covered most of it in our communion time there. But I want to go ahead and reiterate the Shipwrights ministry with Ken. I was thinking about years ago whenever I planted a church in South Dallas and the ministry there. We had the mobile food pantry and how many lives were touched and how many lives were touched in our church because they went there. Now, where he's going is nowhere near as far as South Dallas. And so it'd be really helpful not only to those guys receiving the help, but to you too. It can do things for you. The Overcomers meetings, I'm getting a little feedback, guys. The Overcomers meetings, Logan covered all that. So I'm just looking at everything I had written down here to cover. And the next thing I want to do is go ahead and get these giving baskets passed. These guys are going to come around and they're going to pass the baskets down the aisle. Guys, go ahead. And at the same time, there's going to be another set of guys that is going to give you a Bible, a pen, or a bulletin. If you need one of those, raise your hand. Now, you'll see up here on the screen that there's a QR code or text to give. That is in our Tidely app. And if you don't have that app, just go to your Play Store on your phone and type in Tidely and go to that and download it. Now, for me, this works. It was brought to my attention here recently that I was inconsistent in my giving.
What?
It was true. See, what would happen is I would be here at this time, and I would pull out my phone and start to do, and then I don't know if Trina's doing it. And then, well, I'm sure she did. And then she would be over there going, well, I'm sure he did. And then we would get home at the end of the night, and neither one of us had. And then we would have to do it later on in a week, or sometimes we'd forget. So what we did is we got on this Tidely app, and what we did is just have it taken out. It's, you can sign up on that deal to just, you don't even miss it. It's just gone. It's simple. At our Overcomers meetings every week, I go to that Tidely app, and you can just type in what you want to give and just hit send. So if you haven't done that, and you're like me, sometimes inconsistent, this is a real easy way to take care of that. One of the other things that I do want to mention is Logan said that next week Jesslyn will be bringing the message. After that, Logan will be bringing the message. And then after that, Pastor John Featherston will be bringing the message. Pastor John Featherston, he'll be wrapping our sermon series up with a very special service. He's done it a couple times in the past, but it's been a long time. And if you can be here, bring someone with you. It's going to be a really, really, really good thing for Serenity Church to be taking part in this final message of this sermon series. This month, one last thing, because this just happened today. We're going on Facebook Live, and on Facebook Live, there's a link that you can click on that link, and you can give a testimony, or you can share your thoughts about the message, any of that stuff. It'll make a little video, and it'll come back to Tina, and then she will go through those, and they can be posted on our website. They can be posted on our Facebook page and different things like that. So if you're on Facebook Live and you see that thing, click on that and tell me what your thoughts are about the message. This month, we're going to be talking about using soap. Nobody's got a question about that. I got a feeling there's a lot of people in this room who need to use some soap. I know for me, I need to use soap. It's a funny thing that soap can clean you up. As a kid, I remember my parents going, go take you a bath, go get you a shower. We lived in an old farmhouse, so we didn't even have a shower. We had a big old ball and claw tub. And you go take a bath, and me and my brothers, we'd just get in there and we'd just get wet, you know, and then we'd come out, and Mom would say, "Did you use soap?" And we, "Well, sure I use soap, absolutely." And then she'd go in there and look at the bar of soap, and it was still dry. So then I figured that out, and so I just throw a little water on top of that soap. Sure I use soap. This past January, the beginning of January, every year I go on this retreat. And there was a few guys that went with me this year to Louisiana, and we do some duck hunting. But every night there's a church service, and in that church service we were introduced to soap. Now you got to think about this though. There was 50 guys on this retreat, and there's only one bathroom, and so there's a whole lot of guys who didn't take very many showers. I took one all week, you know. But this was introduced to us. Now, I may have you thinking about a bar of soap right now. But really, what it is, soap stands for scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And if you'll turn to your inside right-hand side of your bulletin, there's a bunch of notes. This message here is a little bit different than something that I normally do. I usually like to take a Bible story and try to apply it to our lives today. But this is more of a teaching about how to study the Bible. When I mentioned to Logan and Jesslyn, you know, this month of February, we're going to talk about soap, and Logan, he knew exactly what I was talking about, you know, and it was funny. Jesslyn said, "Oh yeah, sure," and then later on I said something about it, and she said, "What does that have to do with business?" So apparently there's some kind of soap thing in business too, but that's not what this is. This is about the Bible. And so our scripture that I want to focus on tonight is 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, if you have a Bible, I use a Bible app. I pull out my phone, and I'm going to use several scriptures tonight as examples of what I'm talking about. And so if you could keep up with me, it's probably a little quicker on a Bible app, but if you do have a paper Bible in your possession there, use that too. But 2 Timothy 3:16, here's what it says. All scripture is given by God and is useful for teaching, for showing people what is wrong in their lives, for correcting faults, and for teaching how to live right. Golly, that's all I need to know. I mean, that's what I've been searching for my whole life. Well, at least the last 22 years, when I finally said I surrendered, Up until then, I was running things on my own. But I need to know how to live right. I need to know when my character defects crop up, what they look like, and correct those faults. So how? How do we study Scripture where it makes sense? And so that's where SOAP comes in. It's a, write this down. SOAP is a simple method for reading and applying God's Word to our lives. It's exactly what it is. So, you'll see in your bulletin, we start down the list here with the first letter, S. S stands for Scripture. Write out the Bible passage you're studying. See, for myself, when I started studying this method, I read that and I'm like, well, this is exactly how I write sermons. I take a piece of Scripture and I write it down. All my messages are handwritten on paper, and I have to do that. When I first started bringing messages, I would try to read out of the Bible and stuff, but I wasn't as familiar with that passage as I am now when I read it there and I write it down. There's something about that that helps you focus on what it's actually saying. It helps me. And so when you're studying Scripture, a particular piece of Scripture, write that Scripture down. Let's go on to the O. And so that's observation. So you have this particular piece of Scripture written down. Now let's look at it. What stands out to you in that Scripture? What is it trying to say? What does it mean? What's it mean? And for me, the question that I always ask is this Scripture that I'm looking at, is it a command? Is this something that God's telling me, you do this? And for example, Luke 22:19, do this in remembrance of me. And what he was talking about is taking communion, taking the Lord's Supper. He tore that bread and he sat with his friends and said, I'm not going to be here soon. It's going to happen. But do this in remembrance of me. This is a command. And so every time, as often as we meet, we share communion together because that is a command. There's another piece of Scripture that says, that's Philippians 2:1. It says, does your life in Christ give you strength? Question. Does his love comfort you? Question. Do we share together in spirit? Question. Do you have mercy and kindness? Those are all questions. This is Scripture that makes you ask yourself questions. It's guidance. It's Scripture that gives you guidance. And so for me, I look at Scripture in that way. Is this a command or is this some sort of guidance that I need? Let's look at the next letter. It's A for application. Make the Scripture personal. How does this particular Scripture apply to your life? The example I use for this is 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. And what it says is, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag. And it is not proud. Love is not rude. It's not selfish and does not get upset with others. Love does not count up wrongs that have been done. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with truth. Love patiently accepts all things. always trust, hope, and always remains strong. Now you look at that piece of scripture, and you may can understand what that means. As Forrest Gump says, I know what love is, right? But make that scripture personal. How do you make that scripture personal? Let's go back. Shay is patient and kind. Shay is not jealous. Shay does not brag. Shay is not proud. Shay is not rude. Some people might say different. Shay's not selfish. And I try. Shay don't get upset with others. Now you're stepping on my toes. Shay doesn't count up other people's wrongs. We're making this personal. Now it's personal. You know, you can read that scripture with love, and you know what love is, and you can understand that. But once you make this scripture personal, it has a brings on a whole new feeling when you read it. Shay patiently accepts all things. I wish. That's not easy. Just to accept all things. Shay always trusts and hopes, and I remain strong. Measure yourself by scripture. Make that scripture that you're reading personal. Man, here's a list, a whole list of things that I need to be doing. And if I didn't make that personal, this scripture could have just flew right past me. Of course I know what love is. Love should do all that kind of stuff. Shay should do all that kind of stuff. Now we're going to move on to the P. The P in soap is prayer. Write a prayer to God based on scripture, asking for help to live it out and listen for his guidance. We read a written out prayer every week to start this service, the Serenity Prayer. And this particular prayer, my grandmother had, actually we bought it for her, a big old picture with the Serenity Prayer on. I saw it all the time. In my addiction, I saw it all the time. We even lived with her. I could wake up and I'd look and I could see it through the hallway. I had no idea what this prayer would do for me or mean to me later on in life. About, I don't know, a week or so into, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month, I can't really remember, into my recovery, I'd asked Trina, Trina and the kids were still living in Cleveland, and I was staying in the colony, and I was going to AA every day. And I'd asked her, I thought, can we just move here? I don't need to go back to that town. 30 years of history in there, and it was going to be hard. Now I don't recommend a geographic change to cure you, and that won't. But for me, it helped because I could completely start over. And so we were in Cleveland with this giant U-Haul loading things up. Loading stuff up out of this house. We got a giant U-Haul. We're driving all the way back up to the colony. We're going to put everything we own in it. And so, man, it's a, you know, if you've ever moved, you know how much work that is. Yeah, hot, sweaty, all that good stuff. And I started thinking about how much this U-Haul was going to cost us. And so I told Trina, I said, I still have my little black book here with all these people who still owe me money. You know, for the dope that I sold them, and stuff. And I told Trina, I said, I can probably go around town here and collect enough to pay for this U-Haul. And she looked at me and said, you call your sponsor, and if your sponsor says that's a good idea, go for it. So I called him. I said, I can go around town and collect money. And he said, you idiot. If you go do that, you will never make it back. I said, okay, all right. He said, just get your stuff and get back up here. And so naturally, we started working again. We started working some more. And we're winding it up and getting close to the end. And I can feel this ball of energy on me because we're about to finish loading up the house and I don't have any of my music equipment. It's all locked in a studio, and the band that I just quit was extremely mad at me for it, for quitting. They wouldn't unlock it. They told me they were keeping my stuff. It's, you know, $8,000 to $10,000 worth of equipment in there, and they're just keeping it. And so that really just, getting upset with others I was upset. I was getting upset with others. And I told Trina, I said, I got some biker buddies and stuff, and I got my shotgun right here. I'm going over there and I'm going to blow the hinges off that door. I'm loading my stuff up. And if they get in the way, they might get shot too. I'm going to do it. And Trina said, did you call your sponsor? And look, I'm all for it. And she says, that's a good idea. So I called my sponsor. He said, you idiot. Again. What I want you to do, he said, do you have that 24-hour chip in your pocket? And I did. I was serious about what I was getting into in recovery. And yeah, I've got it right here. I've about bent it in half rubbing on it today. And he said, what I want you to do, I want you to go inside that house. Take a break. I want you to lay down in the floor somewhere. I want you to prop that chip up where you can see it. On the back of it, it has this serenity prayer. And I want you to pray that prayer until you fall asleep. Take a nap. And then get your butt up here as quickly as you can when you wake up. And so I did that. I went inside, I propped that thing up, and God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. God, grant me the serenity. God, grant me the serenity. God, grant me the serenity. You did. I fell asleep. And when I woke up, I had a different attitude. I said, I have to move forward. If I keep thinking like this, I'm going to just go backwards. And so I did. Matthew 7:7-8, it says, ask and God will give you. Ask and God will give to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for you. Yes, everyone who searches will find, and everyone who knocks will have the door open. Write yourself a prayer. Now, for me, at that moment, I'm not even sure I could have wrote a prayer, but God provided one. He provided a prayer for me, and it was written out. The serenity prayer is not in the scripture anywhere. Someone wrote that. And it's a written out prayer. And we use it. But you can also write a prayer of your own that you see often. I know it, when I first came into recovery, there was little things that we used to do is we'd take the post-it notes and write scripture on them and put them on our bathroom mirrors and stuff where when we got up in the morning and we're brushing our teeth, we see it. Things out of the Alcoholics Anonymous book we needed to remember. We wrote that stuff down and we posted it where we could see it. It's important to have those things in your arsenal Because there might be times you want to go blow the doors off a studio and take your stuff back. And the only way you can get back to what you really need to be doing is reading that scripture over and over and over. So what does that scripture say? The one I just read, Matthew. Knock, ask, the door will be opened. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. Knock and ask and then sit on your hands. Knock. Lord, I need. Well, he's not doing anything. Well, neither are you. So you have to do your part. There's three things I want you to know about prayer. And you can write these down too. First of all, prayer is a conversation. It's a conversation. You're talking to God. You're talking to Jesus. Don't do all the talking. Sometimes you have to be quiet. Sometimes you may be listening for this still small voice, and it may come from someone else. It may be a thought. I personally have never heard God from the clouds speak to me in an audible voice, but I hear him speak to me every Wednesday night, every Saturday night. I hear him speak to me. And then in my quiet time, in the time that I may be driving down the road. Here just recently, last week I was driving from Decatur to the Colony, and I, on purpose, I'm not playing the radio, and there's some serious stuff that I need to get with God about. And I need some solutions, and I need some answers. And I prayed about it. And then I shut up. And I'm looking for the answer. I'm looking for the answer, right? That's still participating. You're looking for the answer. And so he answered that just remarkably quick. And pretty awesome. Give God space to talk. Say what you need to say, but give him some space to answer. Number two, as I said, you must participate in your prayer. Be willing to do what he asks. For me, I'll never forget this. We were on our Serenity Church retreat, and it was our first one. And so, you know, I'm there working the retreat, but I'm participating. I'm participating with all the stuff that's going on. And so Pastor Logan hands out some papers, and he said, I want you to write on this page something that you're dealing with, something you need to get fixed, and I just wrote obedience. And the reason that I wrote obedience is because we had just watched the Bamacy play, that one man play, and we watched my friend Ryan Hurt do it, and whew, man, it's powerful, right? And I'm sitting here and I'm watching this, and I hear God in my head, and it wasn't in my voice. That's what Ken always says. When you hear God, you got to listen to the voice, and if it's your own voice, it's probably not him. But I hear God say, you do that at Serenity Church. And I said, oh, no. I don't know how to do it. I can't remember all that. I am not an actor. I can't do any of that. I can't do that. I had that argument halfway through watching that whole play. I'm arguing my hind end off. And then Logan says, I want you to write down something you're struggling with. And I knew that God was saying I needed to do that, but I wasn't willing. I wasn't willing to participate. So I was standing there, and he going around to the different folks and saying, what'd you write? Let's talk about it. We're a church that we pull that stuff out in the open, you know, and And there were several people that shared. And then he looks over at me and he says, "How about you?" I said, "Obedience." He goes, "Well, what are you having trouble with?" And I said, I told him, this play we just watched, God's laying it on me to do that for Serenity Church. And I don't think I can. I dang sure don't want to. And he pulls out his phone. He said, "Okay, December 27th, you're going to be doing that play." And all I could say was yes. And golly, just once I was obedient, it just came. It just happened. God just started making those things, making it where I could remember. And I was able to do it. You must participate. See, whenever we went to that retreat, I asked God, I said, "Give me something." Anytime I go out on a retreat or anything like that, I ask God in my prayers, like, "Show me something. Show me something that needs to be done. Show me something for the church. Show me something for my family. Help me move closer to you." And his answer was, "Go do this play." And so I did. I got willing. But how I got willing was being honest and saying, "I'm struggling with that." And I had people around me that held me accountable and said, "You're doing it on the 27th. The last thing I want you to write down there, number three, is thank him for answering your prayer before you receive the answer. Wow. You're praying for a certain thing. You're praying and you're hoping this thing, that God fixes this thing, X, Y, Z, whatever it may be. Thank him before he even gives you the answer that he did. I broke it down real simple. I just like the simplest thing. "Lord, please give us a nice sunny day. We've struggled with a lot of snow and coldness. But what if I pray that and then in the morning I wake up and it's raining and cold?" Did he not answer my prayer? Did he not hear me? No. He heard you. He heard you. God always answers prayers. Always. In one of three ways. He'll say, "Yes, absolutely, here you go." Or he'll say, "No, absolutely not. It's going to rain today." Or he might say, "Wait a minute." The thing of it is we don't know. We have no idea. And so we have to pray continuously. We have to be consistent about our prayer time. And if you're feeling you're not getting the answer that you want, pray some more. Ask more people in on it. But check your motives. Check your motives. "God, please give me a new Corvette." I probably don't need a Corvette. I can almost guarantee I don't need a Corvette. "God, please help me save enough money that I can buy a car for some transportation." Check your motives and your prayers. In my experience, a prayer like that might get you a Corvette. Here last year in March, me and Trina decided to move to Decatur. And we were looking at houses and looking at a lot of different houses. But our prayer was, "God, show us where you want us to live." And we looked at some stuff, and I was like, "Yeah, that's it." And Trina was like, "No, it's not." I'm like, "Come on, let's move." And we would look at something else, and the house would need a lot of repairs and different things. And I was like, "I can do all that." And she would go, "No, God is going to show us. This is not the one." Thank God for her.
Amen.
Because we looked at the house a couple of doors down from the one we're in. And of course, there I was. This is it. 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 She said, maybe. But our realtor has one more she wants us to look at. And it's got a pool. And I was like, no pool. I've already said I don't want a pool at my house. I don't want to take care of it. I don't want all that. She said, let's just go look. And we went into that house. We walked in that door. And I knew immediately that this is the house. When God answered your prayer, you know it. Yes. You know it. It wasn't like, I don't know if he's answering this prayer or not. I don't know if the answer is no or yes. But when he answers it, you know he answered it. I didn't want a pool. We've baptized 12 people in that pool. God knows what I need. Check your motives. So you may say, this is a cool method. I can see how maybe once I start studying some scripture and looking at different scriptures and how I can apply these things. But really, man, I'm trying not to drink. I'm trying not to do drugs. I'm trying to get over this grief. I'm trying to. I'm just trying to be a good person, and you know, I'm just trying to overcome. What does this have to do with my recovery? And if you look on page 85 in the Alcoholics Anonymous book, it says it is easy to let up on our spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do. For whatever it is that's out of your control, you can't just will away. It can come back. It's a subtle fold. We are not cured. Listen to this. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. How do we maintain our spiritual condition? You can use soap. See, let's look back. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by God and is useful for teaching. And helping people get their lives right. Correcting faults. And teaching people how to live right. We use soap. We go to the scriptures. We write them down. We analyze it. We see how it applies to our life. Make that scripture personal. And then we pray. Pray, pray, pray. See, I went to, me and Trina went to church with Colton and Allie. And they live in Sherman. That's a pretty good ways away. That's why they're not always here. But they have found them a home church there in Sherman. And we went, Odin had a baby dedication there, and we went to that. And it was right after we got back from that retreat, and the whole retreat every night was about studying scripture. And so we sat down, and Colton leans over, and he goes, we're in a sermon series about learning to study scripture. You got to be kidding. And so, man, I pulled out my phone. I started taking notes. I said, nothing is off limits. I'm fixing to steal some of this guy's stuff. And so I wrote down a few things to keep in mind while studying the Bible that this man said. And one of the things that stuck out to me the most, and here's what he said. He says, the Bible is not a book. It's a library. I said, wait a minute. I've always thought this is a book. And I knew that there was books within this book, but it's a library. And when you think about it like that, it makes a whole difference. You know, there's a lot of people that have read the entire Bible. I'm not one of them. That's daunting to me. I can't sit still very long. I can read a little bit. But I tell you what I have done. I have read some books in that library. James is only 5 chapters. I can read that whole book. Jude is 1. Have you read a book out of that library? I read pieces of different books out of that library all the time. Just keep in mind that you can break this thing up. I know there's a lot of people that God bless them, they can sit still and they can read through the entire Bible. I'm not one of them. But when it was broke down like this to me, I feel that I can maybe get a little closer. Here's another thing to keep in mind. When you're reading Scripture, get context. Okay? What was going on at the time? And read the Scripture above and read the Scripture below it. There was a man one time that asked me, will you meet me at Brahms? And I need to visit with you about something. And I said, sure, absolutely. And so I sat down with him and he sat across from me. You know those big old giant Bibles that maybe your grandmother had laid out, you know, big white one? And he throws that thing down there and he turns to Leviticus. He says, I need to talk to you about your tattoos. He says, right here, do not mark your bodies and stuff. And I said, what does the Scripture right above it say? Now this man that was sitting across from me, he shaved his head completely bald. And he had a little goatee. I said, read that Scripture right above what you just read. And it says, do not clip the sides of your head or trim your beard. He said, I said, well, it looks like we're both in the wrong here or what? He said, well, I think I'm going to go get a tattoo. But then what it led to was a discussion about what this was, the context of what we were reading together, what was going on at the time. And what was going on at that time is these people were doing these things to themselves to show allegiance to other gods. And we're not doing that. You gave yourself a shaved head because you're losing all your hair. Every tattoo I got represents something about Jesus and Moses and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Read the Scripture above and below. Get the context. And last, remember that all Scripture points back to Jesus. All of it. All Scripture is to put you in a relationship with God and ultimately salvation. Salvation. If you're new to the church, salvation sounds, I heard that before, it's a church word. It just simply means being saved, and that might even sound funny to you, being saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal damnation, death. That's what we talked about earlier. Saved from our sin. There was a price to be paid, and he paid it. And so it's our desire to follow him for what he's done. We want to follow Jesus. And, And so when you turn your, see, I look at step three, literal. I turn my will and my life over to the care of God. I turn my will and my life over to the care of Jesus. I turn it over to Him. I ask Jesus into my heart. Start running the show. I've done a poor job of it. And when you do that, you get salvation. See, this we live out our lives here, and this is this the skin suit that we have. It's not really who I am. See, I get to live eternally. I get to go on from here. I can't wait to see what's on the other side. I get to see my grandmother again and my granddad and all them, and nobody's going to be having any kind of pains. I wake up in the morning every day with my back hurting. And Trina said the other day, you kept me up all night with your tossing and turning. I said, my back was hurting, man. Won't ever have to deal with that again. Done. Salvation. Now, if that's something you're interested in, it's real easy. It's real easy to do. But it's not easy to do. Because as soon as you do, you get a big old bullseye on your back. And the enemy's coming at you. And he's going to throw fiery darts at you every chance he gets. But the temptation, it's not that big of a deal, because we have a desire to do what is right. And when we struggle with that desire to do what is right, we go back to that scripture. 2 Timothy. And we read it and we go, okay, that means I need to read more scripture and start applying it. Salvation. If that's something you're interested in, you can do it right now. There's a lot of churches that say you got to come up front, and I come from a tradition where you come up front and you get baptized right then. You need to be baptized. It's really simple. You can do it sitting right there in your seat. All you have to do is bow your head and say an honest prayer. An honest prayer. And then start living it out. And if you want to, you can repeat after me and bow your head and just say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I need you. I may not know a whole lot about you, but I'm willing to follow you. I just heard that you can set me free from sin and I can get salvation and I can live forever. So, Lord, I give you myself. I turn my will and my life over to the care of you. Lord, save me. I'm yours. It's really that simple. If you said that prayer, you're His. But you got to start living it out. You got to start living it out. And like I said, it ain't easy. You can't do it alone. You can't. You have to have a community around you. You got to have people. So just as soon as this is over here, we're going to meet over there in a fellowship hall for our overcomers meetings. Logan told you there's one in McKinney, there's one in Decatur, there's one here every Saturday night. We meet here every Saturday night. Please come back and bring somebody with you. Bring somebody with you. I'm sure there's somebody in your life that needs Jesus. You can tell them this ain't your average normal church. If it was, I wouldn't be standing here, I promise you. You want to pray for people? Come on up front. Tina, you want to? And you're doing that. David, come on up here. These two guys, I know them well. If you have something that you need prayer for, you don't even have to tell them. you feel like telling them, that's fine, but you don't even have to tell them. Just come forward and say, I need you to pray. God will let them know what to say. So during this song, if you have that desire, you need prayer, come do that. If you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you got salvation tonight, let them know. Let me pray for y'all and then we'll move on with our worship service. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for Serenity Church. I thank you for what you're doing in this place. God, we need you. We need you more than ever. Every day. Help us to stay in your word. Figure out how these things apply to our life and teach us how to live right, Lord. Our desire is to please you. Lord, help us when we fail. In your name we pray. Amen.